So Nancy and I were driving down the highway, and she said, "Look at that house." And so I looked to the left. Actually, I looked to the right. I didn't see the house. I looked to the left. I didn't see the house. There was no house to be seen. But she said, isn't that a neat house? And I said, And then I realized she was looking up at the clouds. And she saw this house that was in the clouds. Now, how many of you have ever looked at the clouds and said, "Oh, look at that bunny rabbit"? What have you seen in clouds before, Rita? Geneva, I'm going to ask everybody. What have you seen? Do you remember seeing a particular object?
You see a lot of things.
Okay. And you hadn't lost it, had you? I mean, you haven't really lost your marbles. Any special thing that anybody does remember seeing in a cloud? I know you've all seen objects that you may not think of right now, but... Okay, that's great.
Well, this season that we're in,
atmospherically speaking, has produced a lot of different clouds. Well, did you find Job? Well, let me find Job. And I want to read to you Job 36:29. There's a question here. Who can understand how he spreads out the clouds? How he thunders from his pavilion? It goes on with other words such as the lightning, but we want to stay with the clouds today. Verse 29, chapter 36. Who can understand how he spreads out the clouds? Or King James says, can anybody understand the spreading of the clouds? Well, of course not. We can't understand the spreading of the clouds, but it's he who does spread the clouds. And if you, while you're in Job, turn to 26:8, it may be a revelation to you about what's in the clouds, besides what we see the formations being. In Job 26, verse 8, it says, he wraps up the what in the clouds? Okay, King James says faith. But waters is what I prefer. He wraps up the waters in his clouds, and yet the clouds do not burst under their weight. Isn't that an interesting scripture? Which tells me that obviously what is in the clouds is water, drops of water. In fact, that's what makes a cloud, water, which we're going to come back to several times in our study. Can anybody understand the spreading of the clouds? So I believe God speaks to us in clouds. I believe God speaks to us not only in the cloud, but by the clouds as well. So, being the meteorologist that I am, I can tell you that there are cirrus clouds, which are the very high, high ones. You may take note of this, 20 to 40,000 feet high. Then dropping down the alto middle, which would be like 10,000 to 14,000 layer. Then we drop down to the low cumulus clouds, which are 2 to 4,000 feet, and they appear much smaller. And then we got the stratus, which are the very low clouds, under 1,000 feet, and they appear as layers. But the fluffy clouds, which we made mention of before, I think are the cumulus clouds.
Yes,
whatever it is, that's what they are.
Cumulus
clouds. Okay, so we got these cumulus clouds. Now, it's in the cumulus clouds that we see these things. Now, what I want us to do now is to close our eyes, and I want you to think of an experience that you're going through right now that is not the best in the world. In other words, what is it that seems to you right now as a dark cloud? And it's very important that we tag one or two clouds right now at the onset of our message. Okay, we'll try to tag them, and if you haven't, you can go back to it from time to time. Now, in Palestine, there are very few references of clouds in the Bible, and the reason for that is that Palestine is a country that is very long and narrow, and it has on its west side the Mediterranean Sea. It has on its east side the desert. Now, when the clouds come in from the Mediterranean Sea, from the west side, it brings clouds. And if there's enough moisture in the clouds, then it's going to rain. If the clouds come from the other side, which rarely they do, but sometimes they do, there's no moisture in those clouds. It is true that there are not too many references to clouds in the Bible, but we do know there are a few. Now, because we live in the world in which there are so many changeable things, we must remember that of all the changeable things, who is not changeable? That's God. So I look at the clouds and I see how they just fluff and go and move with the wind. I say, well, that's true with clouds, but it's not true with God, because God is solid, He's a rock, and the Bible says that His faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Psalm 36:5. So God can be trusted. The clouds vary, but not so with God. So because we live in a world in which there are so many changeable things, it's easy for us to slip into the suspicion that maybe God is changeable too. But God is not changeable. God is the same, you know it, today, yesterday, and tomorrow. So if we can begin with some personal clouds, have you had time to tag a few? Some yes, some no. I'll give you some more time. Try to think. Maybe you're not going through a rough situation. Maybe everything is just really in la-la land with you. Lovey-dovey. That's good. That'd be a fluffy cloud, wouldn't it? But as we get into more serious things, the clouds get a little bit grayer and darker, and some of us are going through some really dark, dark clouds. But one thing we know is that these clouds that come in our home, in our school, where we work, with problems, they are clouds that I think are controlled by the faithfulness of God. God is controlling these clouds, and they are symbols of the shifting uncertainties of our human life. So our cloudy experiences, we can't escape, but we can put trust in God, who controls these physical clouds as well as our clouds. Exodus 19:9 says, lo, this is God speaking. I like that. This is God speaking. He says, I come to you in a thick cloud. So the experience that you thought of a moment ago, hopefully, that you're going through as a dark cloud, God says, hey, you, I come to you in a thick cloud. And then Psalm 104:3 says, He makes the cloud His chariot. So I'm in this deep cloud right now, and it's dark. And God says, well, I'm coming to you, Neil, in this dark cloud. And I am making this cloud that has enveloped your whole life and your family, I'm coming to you in that cloud. In fact, that's my chariot, Neil. So these experiences that we have are weighed by these benefits. Now, remember, a cloud is made up of what? Water. And when it rains, it refreshes. So I'm saying, yeah, I am really saying, put on the dark clouds, God, because as the cloud gets darker and darker, then there's going to be more water to fall and to invigorate me and to bless me. So I want to look at some observations in these clouds. This is what I have found true. There is life in the cloud. And this goes back to that, to the water, because we can't live very long without water. Some of you actually know how long a body can go without water. Some of you got to know this, because I don't. Well, I wish I do, but you know, we can go without food a certain amount of time, but water, I think, is different. We have to have water to circulate. Okay? All right. My car operates with a water circulating system, and it cannot function without the water. We cannot function without the water. Now, we cannot even function without the clouds, because the clouds are full of what? Full of water. Now, remember the story in 1 Kings 18:44, where Jehoshaphat said, I see a cloud, and he's looking at the Mediterranean, the west part, and he sees this cloud coming. And so it's this way. He sees the cloud on the west side, and he said, well, look at that dark cloud. It's only the size of a man's hand. But it wasn't long before that cloud, the size of a man's hand, got bigger and bigger and bigger, and this torrential rain came from that cloud. And it was God who was controlling that dark black cloud. So when we see the experience that we're in the dark cloud, the first of the four things to remember is certainly this. There's got to be life in the cloud, because clouds are made with water, and water is going to invigorate our very being. Second thing that's in the clouds is there's glory in the cloud. Glory in the cloud. And I'm thinking about some clouds that I know some of you are going through, and certainly others who are not here who are going through. Like last week, I spoke to two men, and we're talking about bad experiences, so they're clouds. So I know we all are subject to these dark clouds. And so when we get a dark cloud, what do children mostly do when they see a dark cloud, when the clouds come close to their home? They sort of get scared. They get a little fear of this. And this is what dark clouds physically produce. In fact, if you turn in your Bible to Luke 9:34. This was a time when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the top of a mountain. And you know, when you go higher in elevation, oftentimes you get into clouds. I remember telling you this when we first moved here. We took a trip over to the coast, and we took the coast road through Hunter Lickett. It was an experience, and especially to Darren, because as the car got higher, we actually went into a cloud. And Darren said, "Dad, are we in heaven?" Dark clouds tend to make people afraid. And so here's what happened in Luke chapter 9, verse 34. Somebody read that, would you? Okay, now, I'm referring this now to the cloud that Nancy and I have entered into recently, and then some clouds have just seemed to huddle over for a long time. And you too, in your experience, when the cloud came upon these men, they were afraid. But the scripture tells us in Matthew 17:5, something else about that cloud. It's the same experience. It's recorded only two times in the Word of God. Matthew 17:5. Matthew. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son." Remember earlier I said God was in the cloud? Well, here's a good example. The voice from the cloud, this is God in the cloud, saying, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." The next verse. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and did what? And then what did he say? "And don't be afraid." So God has told me this past week, and even last night, don't be afraid of this dark cloud that you're in, because there is glory in the cloud. In Exodus, remember the experience when the children of Israel were camped around the mountain? Moses went up to the top of the mountain. What was on top of that mountain but a cloud? And there was so much glory in that cloud that the people downstairs, down at the bottom of the mountain, said in Exodus 19:9, Exodus 19:16, they were terrified by what they saw, the cloud. So we talked earlier about God using clouds as a chariot. There's glory in the clouds, and this is what I must look for when I'm in a dark experience, that God, there's going to be glory in this cloud, because it says right here in the Word of God. So the first thing is, there's life in the cloud, there's glory in this dark cloud that you're in, and the third thing, which I like really great, there is direction in the cloud. Exodus 40:36. Somebody read that, would you? Okay, so we have a cloud here seemingly giving direction. So in this dark cloud that you have tagged earlier, is it possible that God could be giving you direction in that cloud? Yes, it is certainly true. Indeed, it is true. Psalm 78:14 says, actually, it's the same reference to what we just read in the Exodus. Psalm 78:14. Exactly. Yes, it was. That's exactly right. Very much. But yet God is really directing us. So when we get out of the cloud, we're out of his direction. Well, the 78, 14 says he guided them. He guided them. That's the word. He guided them. He guides you. He guides me with the cloud by day. So these people in the Exodus account really were blessed by having such a cloud. In Nehemiah and again in other verses in Exodus, it talks about these people who were dependent upon the cloud as it would direct them. So I'm saying, well, maybe this cloud that I'm in is not so bad. I mean, it is bad. But maybe God is going not just giving me life in the cloud, not only is he giving me glory in the cloud, but maybe he's directing me in the cloud. And that makes me say, well, the cloud may not be so bad after all, when in fact I think it really is. But we say, God, this is your cloud. Now, in this cloud, in the Old Testament, they called it this Shekinah glory. It's just awesomeness, this glory of God. And Paul uses the word in 1 Corinthians 10:9, talking about the word the Lord. And so I believe, according to Paul's interpretation, that this cloud actually was the Lord. God, it was Jesus himself. Jesus was directing these people at that time, leading them through the desert to the promised rest. And so it is to us. God is going to use the cloud that we're in to help us get to our promised rest. And I discovered this past week. Some believe that maybe there was more than one pillar. Now we know the pillar of the cloud, because it had several functions, and I thought this very interesting. One, first of all, in the daytime, what did this cloud do? It guided them. Now, we're talking about the cloud guiding these people. At nighttime, there was fire, and what does fire do? It gives light. Can you imagine these million people in the middle of nowhere, pitch dark, no moon? Well, the children and the women and the men would be petrified by not having the light. In our parking lot behind the church, we have two huge street light hydrogen light bulbs, although one burned out this past week, I might add. But still, which the neighbors are probably happy about, but it gives light. Now, if we didn't have that light back there, it would be very difficult to park. It would be very difficult to do anything without the light. So I'm saying to myself, I look in the mirror and I say, you know, the cloud that I'm in is a blessing to me, because it, as a cloud, gave direction, and it gave light, and it guided the people. Now, the man that I was reading said that it also did a third thing besides light and guiding. It helped the people with the atmospheric conditions. Now, we're talking about people who are walking around where? In a what? In a what? No, they're walking around on what? Sand, and sand is probably what? Hot. Probably hot. So we're in the desert, and so in the desert you're not living in the Arctic or the Antarctic. It is very, it is hot. So can you believe, as I certainly have come to believe, a brand new concept of this, that this cloud, now what are clouds made of? Water. Do you think that God was sprinkling these people with atmospheric beautiful droplets to help them travel? Well, yes, I do. And now, people, it makes sense to me what I read in the scripture. When I read they were baptized by the cloud, people say, what in the world does that possibly mean? What does it mean that they were baptized by a cloud? Well, now it makes sense to me, if that was true. But we now know that the pastor told you clouds are made of water, and so they were baptized. But I think God gave them this atmospheric condition to help them for more than 1 year. How many years? Is that a long time, or is that a long time? Okay, so the cloud you may be in may be a long time to you, but remember, God is going to give you direction through that cloud, and it will be true. And I know you've heard me tell the story when the dark cloud hit me in my car accident in 1958, hindering me from graduating from graduate school, making me stay another quarter. It was during that extra quarter that Mrs. Nancy Jane Dubois came from St. Louis down to New Orleans. And so at first I was really mad at God for having given him this accident. Now I'm mad at God for because had I not had the accident, I would never have met Nancy. And so I just praise God for this, that she's the coolest pastor's wife in all the Bible. You are the cream of the crop, belle of the ball. But she would not be there if it hadn't been for this dark cloud that hit me when I rolled my car 134 feet. I went 140 feet, and I can still see when I woke up, my head on the concrete, I can still see the red and the green light on the dashboard upside down of a brand new car I just purchased with a sunroof. I think I went through the sunroof, we're not sure, either that or the back window. But I was so mad that I had to go through the legs broken in the hospital in a couple of months. But sure, it was all well worth it because God was guiding me through the dark cloud experience. So the first is, there's life in the cloud. Secondly, there is glory. And third, there's direction. And the fourth is, there is this promise in the cloud. Now, when you see clouds, what do you sometimes see? And what does the rainbow symbolize? The promises of God. Well, I don't like Kermit the Frog that broke that engagement. I mean, I like Kermit. I call him Kermit the Frog. His name is Kermit. Whatever his name was. Yeah, she broke the engagement, and then she got on the plane and came south. But that was a dark cloud for her. Now it's still a dark cloud because of... But when you see a cloud, you see the rainbow. But has anybody ever seen a rainbow without a cloud? No. And the things you have to have to look for a rainbow are what? You've got to have a cloud, you've got to have water, and you have to have sunlight or sun. And that's what makes a beautiful rainbow. And I say, yes, there is a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Because in that cloudy experience that I go through, there is that reward that God's got for us. Now, they tell me this, that from an airplane, you can see the rainbow as a complete circle. Now, I can't doubt for the authenticity of that statement, but it makes sense that from God's perspective, everything is slightly different. And the rainbow that we see as an arch is actually, in fact, a circle. If it is an arch, it's like a bow. He is pulling back his bow to show you that there are promises in that. So when you feel shot, when you feel hurt, take heart. There is the qualification of the promise in the clouds that do come your way. So, to conclude, we're living in clouds. I say to myself, don't be afraid. I say to you all, don't be afraid if you're going through this cloud. A cloud with your spouse, a cloud at work, a cloud at job or at home in some other aspect or with some relative or whatever. Don't be alarmed because in that cloud, if you don't rebel, if you become teachable through your cloudy experience, God is going to say to you, this is God speaking, lo, I am with you. That's what he said to those disciples who were so afraid. So the faithful God says, I've got a purpose in permitting these clouds to form. I have a purpose in the thunder to roar. I have a purpose in the lightning to dazzle you. And yet the disciples feared as they entered into the cloud. But God says, I permit the changes, I permit the uncertainties in order to inspire fear. Now, we opened up the service by reading our call to worship with the word fear, We can't revolt against the idea of fear. Let me repeat. Don't revolt against the idea of fear. It's far better to fear than to remain insensitive. It's better to have dread than irreverence toward God. So remember, the clouds are the home of God. Say that. Clouds are the home of God. And that sort of makes me see, in my experiences, a new dimension. That I'm not alone. I'm in something that seems dark and dreary and distasteful, and I just hate it, and I want out of it fast. But I see that in it can come life and glory and direction and the promise. But I must remember, God is in the clouds. There's another thing that we should mention. There's forgiveness in the clouds too, people. He says, I swept away your sins like a cloud. So that's sort of the introduction. I swept away your sins as a cloud. Then we talked about the clouds and the four things that are in the clouds. But then the thing that's going to come in the future, remember, he's going to come again, communion, do this in remembrance of me until I come. And when he comes, what's he going to be coming on? But what's his chariot in? Yes, a cloud. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he comes in a cloud. So if he's in a cloud now, and he's going to come in a cloud there in the second coming, that is really great, because remember, the cloud is the home of God. It's the home of God. So it's okay if you're a loud cloud. I told myself this past week, nearly if you're a loud cloud. And I said, well, how do I know? Anyway, we had this little conversation between one another. And God said, it is in the cloud, it is a loud cloud at your level. So we have these different clouds. They're different degrees of white, gray, dark, or white, gray, and dark. But don't worry about the clouds, because you sung it when you were little. Mayflowers are brought to us by April clouds and showers. And the showers have to have a cloud. I just have to put that in. The blue of heaven is larger than the clouds. And above the clouds, what is happening? The sun still shining. Now, things are really neat when your sermon is confirmed in different ways. After I decided we would do this today, on the internet I got this story. It was so neat. This mother sent her child to school. It was close enough to walk. But it was a distance, nevertheless. And while she was at school, the clouds came in. And they were not the cumulus clouds, they were the dark clouds. And as a result of that, it was going to get really, really bad. They were dark, there was lightning flashing. So the mother said, I'm going to drive the car to the school and pick up my daughter, because she must be scared half to death. But she was a little late in making the drive, and so she must have come the back way, because she saw her little daughter walking, and all of a sudden, the little girl stopped. And the flash of lightning went out. Then she walked on her merry way, and there was another big flash of lightning, and the little girl stopped. So her mother finally picked her up, and she said, what is happening? And the girl was smiling. She was so happy, happy as a lark. And she said, Mother, God is taking pictures of me. So let us resound this week that God is in your cloud. Regardless of the intensity of the black, God is taking pictures of you. And from the white clouds, which I would say, yay, yay, bring them on, to the dark of the dark clouds, God is in the clouds. Hallelujah. Holy Savannah. Holy Savannah. Let's bow and pray. Father God, we have experiences on our pilgrimage walk. And as we walk from one place to another place, like the little girl from the school to the home, we are actually in a school right now, a school of experiences, and we are in fact walking as pilgrims to our heavenly home. In the meantime, life is not always sunshine bringing up roses. Oftentimes, the experiences are very dark, dark with death, or dark with frustration, dark with disappointment, dark with whatever comes our way. And we want to remember one thing and let it resound in our ears over and over this week, Lord, when we are in tight situations and difficult situations and stressful situations, situations that cause us to be anxious and frustrated. Help us to remember that you are in those dark experiences. And we praise you, Lord God, that you are there And help us not to be like the disciples who feared when they saw the cloud, but yet from within the cloud they heard the word, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And Jesus came in and touched them, and Jesus said, "Don't be afraid." And he would parenthetically add, "Of the cloud, don't be afraid." So Job asked the question to start with, "Can any understand the spreading of the cloud?" And we say, "Nope, we can't understand it, but you can." And so we bless you, Lord Jesus, to that end, as we stand in your presence right now. Lord, we just stand in your presence, and we want to give to you ourselves and the disappointments of life and all the cloudy experiences. And it is as if the lightning is flashing right now, and God's taking pictures of each one of you right now, listening to my voice, taking pictures of you. And so, God, keep that smile, keep that spiritual smile on our face right now. Amen? Amen.